Well, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you are a good God all of the time, that the only constant in our life is you, because life is constantly in flux. But we look to you as that North Star that just never changes. And so, Lord, I pray as we journey through your word this morning that we would be encouraged and built up and edified, that as your word goes forth, it will not return void, but will accomplish that which you have sent out to do, and that's to bear good fruit. We just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. A couple of weeks ago, we began to talk about a series called You Are Here. And the idea is that if you look on a map, you know, you have a little red dot and that shows where you are. And we began by talking about the fact that you might not like where your here is. You might not like all the hears in your life, and you might want to see some changes that happen. And so we looked at the story of Elijah and how, you know, in his here, in his moment of time, that he ran because of what he saw. And there are times in our life that happens to us as well, that we see something or hear something and it causes us to run from where God has called us to be. And so we need to be aware of that. But we ask the question, and this is what God had asked Elijah, what are you doing here? So often, I don't know about you, but when I've had God ask me that question, I'm kind of like Adam in the garden. You know, she did it, or he did it. In other words, I want to blame somebody else. You know what I'm saying? Anybody but me. Has anyone ever had that happen? You know, you're in a spot, and you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, saying, look, what are you doing here? And you want to blame the circumstances. You want to blame your spouse. You want to blame your kids. You want to blame your job. You want to blame the economy. You want to blame the president. You know, list goes on and on and on of who you might want to blame. Everyone but you. But the reality of it is, for you to move forward from here to get to there, to get to a new place in God, you have to begin to take responsibility. And we're going to talk a little more about that. Now, I am not saying that there aren't other people to blame. There's lots of blame, isn't there? You know, there's lots of things other people may have done or said or didn't do or didn't say, and it's hindered you in getting from here to the next place God's called you to. But you can't change that. But what you can change is you and your perspective with it. And so as we begin to move forward, we need to realize that wherever you are right now, so you're here at church, right? You're physically here at church. That wherever you are in your life, that God still wants to fulfill purposes, even if it's not the perfect place, even if it's not quite right. God still is there. And the other thing is, you're not alone. You know, how many people have said somewhere in their life, I'm the only one? Have anybody ever done that? Maybe you've been praying to the Lord. I had everybody put up their hand at the first service. But what? Nobody here wants to be honest. Have you ever prayed to God? I can't believe this is happening to me. I must be the only one. Nobody's ever prayed that prayer. Okay, thank you. All right, I thought maybe I'd lost everybody in translation or something here. All right, yeah, and we pray that. Here's the thing. There are countless others that have gone through the same thing, maybe even worse than you have. And let me tell you something. God is with them. You know, I think of the story of the prodigal son, and you got that young man who went off to do his own thing, you know, and finds himself, what, you know, in a pig pen, you know, with the pigs. And here's the thing. His father still knew where he was. His father still had a plan for him. And it doesn't matter if you're here, it's totally out of the will of God, totally out in the middle of nowhere somewhere. I want to tell you, the Lord will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But for you to be blessed, for you to be encouraged, for you to once again hear his voice, there's a turning around that has to happen. And so if you're in this place and you've wandered from the Lord, again, I'm not here to point any fingers, I'm just making a statement. If you've wandered from the Lord, maybe in thoughts or words or actions or attitudes, I encourage you to just look up to heaven and say, Jesus, I need you right now. And that's the beginning of the turnaround. And let me tell you, your father will come and he'll wrap his arms around you and he'll say, welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter, and embrace you and receive you. He won't give you the once up and down. You know, if you do this again, you know, he won't do none of that. He'll just say, I'm happy you're home. And so if you've wandered from the Lord, I encourage you, turn back to him right now. He is right there for us. And so I want to talk about for a minute, before I get into the main body of the message, the duality of our existence. Now, that's a word I don't think I've ever used. The duality of our existence. In fact, I looked it up and it's not really a word. I made it up. But you understand what it means. That there's two parts to our lives. Aaron called me late last week. It was about Thursday or Friday, and he had broken something on a job. So he's like, you know, so called Dad to the rescue, right? So I'm like super busy. I'm like, okay, fine. Send me the directions, right? And so we hang up, and my phone dings, and I look down at it, and there's all these numbers, like two digits, and then dot, and then like 10 digits more, and two of those. I'm like, what the heck? You know, he's broken, not the equipment's broken. He's broken. What's he sending me this? So I'm looking at him, realizing, you know what this is? I think this is latitude and longitude. And so I copy it, and I paste it into my Google's map, and lo and behold, it shows a place over on the other side of Poughkeepsie. And so I text him and say, are you on the other side of Poughkeepsie? He says, yes. And I said, why didn't you give me the address? He says, well, I'm not sure of the address, but I just pointed on my phone, and it just gave me these numbers. And so here's the point. That's where he was. You and I are right here, right now, physically at Reach Out Church. I should have looked up what the digits are, you know, what our latitude and longitude are for here, and it'll be big, long numbers. But we're physically here, aren't we? But here's the duality of it. Though we're physically here, the Bible says that you and I are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. So how can we be physically here yet be there at the same time? Well, it shows the duality of our lives, that there's a couple parts to us. There's a physical part, the tent that you and I live in. So when we look at each other, that's the tent that we live in, right? Our physical, fleshly bodies. But there's another part, our spirit person, a spirit man, spirit woman that lives in us, that lives somewhere else, that is supposed to be with Jesus in heaven. Now, how can you tell whether you're sitting there sometimes or not? Let me tell you how. When something goes wrong, it's usually not when things go right, but when something goes wrong, how do you look at what's wrong? Do you see it as this giant mountain in front of you? Or do you see it seated in heaven looking down at it, and it's this little molehill? That's how you can tell whether you're in the flesh or in the natural or in the spirit seated with God. And we get to choose. Isn't that an amazing thing? And for some of us here, you might like, I never really thought about that before. Let me tell you something. The duality of our existence is real. We're physically here. The Apostle Paul even said this, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. And so he was talking about that duality of existence. And in fact, listen, I'm not making, though I made that word up, I'm not making up the principle or the truth of it. Look at this with me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says this, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So there it is, the duality of our existence right here, as well as explaining what we should focus on. So here's what the Apostle Paul is saying, fix our eyes. In other words, we need to be focused on or primarily looking at this. On what? Not what's seen. In other words, we shouldn't be focused on this world and everything we can see and touch and feel, but on what? What is unseen. In other words, the things of the spirit realm. Since what is seen is what? Temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. I love this because not only does he define what we should be doing, but he says why. He's saying that, you know, our physical tents, the lives that we live, everything that's going on down here, the jobs we have, all of this will eventually be gone. Will turn to dust, will turn to ash. It'll be gone. Yet what is unseen, the things in heaven, the things that are eternal, are what? Eternal. They're forever. And so even while we live in this temporary tent, we should be focused primarily on eternity, because that's where we're going to spend the rest of our lives. And so that's the duality of our existence. And so where do we live? You see, the title of what I'm going to talk about today is How to Get Unstuck from Here. And if you want to get unstuck in your life, it begins with having a heavenly focus. If you're fixated on the natural, if you're focused on the natural all of the time, you will not be able to get unstuck because you're going to be looking at the natural all of the time. Let me show you an example. I have a picture of a camper. And I am sure that when these people parked their camper, that they were probably about 30, 40, 50 feet away from the ocean. Probably pulled in the evening, and they said, you know, let's watch the sunset together, and you know, we'll park here. This is awesome, right? They watched the sunset. Maybe they stayed up and roasted marshmallows for a while. But around midnight, 1 o'clock, they decided, hey, let's go to bed. So they go to sleep, and they wake up in the morning to hear the soft waves of the ocean, no longer 30 or 40 feet away, but washing up against their camper. And they come outside and realize that somebody moved the camper. That didn't actually happen. The tide came in, and all of a sudden, what was a beach of nice dry sand, all of a sudden became part of the ocean. Now, how many of you have stood on the edge of the ocean and had the waves come in back and forth? What happens after a while? Anybody ever done that recently? I did recently. So my grandson, Abe, was here. He's about 10, 11 years old now. And so he's standing there, and I'm standing there. And I just don't understand. I sank like a rock. He just went down slowly. I just went poop, and he went deep down. So the point is, as the water washed in, that camper just went down and down and down. And so their place called here became a nightmare for them, didn't it? It started out as nice. And for many of us in our lives, some of the places that you've camped at, you know, in speaking in, you know, the natural, and when I say natural, I don't mean camped as in a campsite, but where you've established your life has been wonderful and beautiful. But now it's turned into a nightmare. The water's coming in. It's beginning to wipe out everything that you've had. In other words, things have changed, haven't they? And so that's an important part of our life, the natural. But there's another part that's more important than that. And that is what I refer to, and again, another word I made up, but I think it speaks well, that you can be naturally stuck, but you can also be soul stuck as well. And what I mean by that is, in your thinking, inside your heart, that you can become stuck and unable to move forward. Now, so often, here's what you and I do. We focus on the natural. In other words, we see that camper sinking in the sand, and we're like, hey, we got to get a tow truck. We got to deal with this. You know, if we fix this, this will change our life. You know what I found when I had that attitude, when I had my eyes on the natural, trying to fix all the natural things? When the day is all over, it really doesn't fix anything because I'm soul stuck on the inside. In other words, things have to change on the inside. And so what I want to talk to you about today is working on some of the inside stuff to get unstuck. Everyone with me on this? I want to help you with this. And the thing is, I love the scriptures. It's all here. And so what we're going to do is take a few moments and just walk through these scriptures so we can see the heart of God. He doesn't want us to stay stuck in any part of our lives. In fact, let me just take a survey now. How many people have some stuck areas in their lives? I'm not asking you to tell me what they are. Just put your hand up to the Lord. Okay, so it looks like most of the people here this applies to. You know, if the rest of you want to go home, that's up to you. You know what I'm saying, if you want to. Yeah, you know, I don't want to keep you if you're not... don't care, right? But maybe you can help your neighbor who's stuck, or your kid, or, you know, somebody else if it's not you. The thing is, sooner or later, you're going to be stuck in some area of your life. All of us are. Listen, I'll confess this right now. There are areas in my life that I'm stuck in. It could be something I don't even know I'm stuck in. Maybe my parents, some way along the way, as godly as they were and as loving as they were, said something and put principles into my life that I am still acting out on, and yet those principles don't line up with the word of truth. So what does that mean? I'm stuck. See, that's the worst thing, is being stuck and not knowing it. And so my hope is that as we kind of open some things up this morning, that you can maybe say, oh, yeah, I never thought about it. Yeah, I could be stuck here or stuck there or stuck there. And so that's my hope for you. So let me just say this before we move on to the spiritual side of it. What are some natural things that hold us here, that could hold you here? Well, one of the things that could hold you is necessity. In other words, you go to the job you go to because you have to make money to pay the bill that's coming tomorrow. You see where I'm going. You have to, maybe because of an obligation. In other words, you made a promise to someone or an organization that you're going to do something. And so out of necessity, you're in this place of being stuck. Now, here's the thing. When I talk about that job, when I say you go there, listen to me. I don't suggest you quit your job tomorrow morning. Okay, please don't do that, all right? And please do not quiet quit. Does everyone know what that means? That's even worse than quitting. Listen, if you are going to quit your job, be honest about it. Quit your job and leave. Quiet quitting, for those of you who don't know the term, what that means is you still go to your job and you still collect a paycheck, but you're no longer there. You know, the lights are on, but nobody's home. You know, in other words, you go to your job, you do the minimum you can do just to get by, but really you've checked out. But you're still collecting a check. So don't quiet check. You know why I can tell you that? The Bible says that for us as believers, that all of our work is what? Unto the Lord. So that means that we work for the Lord. And so even though we're working through the Lord through a sub-person of an employer, it doesn't matter, that everything we do should bring honor and glory to the Lord. And so we need to obviously have an attitude of gratitude with whatever work we have. You shouldn't go to your job just for necessity. And if you're in that place right now where you're just doing it because you have to, why don't you take a look at that and say, Lord, what are you saying about this? Because I believe God wants to help you with this. Amen? There should be joy in your heart to wake up in the morning, to go to whatever God's called you to do. And if it's not happening, then listen, you're stuck. And I believe God will help you to change that. Now, it could be that it means a job change. But remember what I said. It's like that camper stuck in the sand. You know, unless that person changes, they're going to park the camper on the beach in another place. You get what I'm saying? In other words, it's just an ongoing. So the problem is the guy driving the camper. It's not the camper's fault. In other words, it's not your circumstances that usually are the major problem here. It's your attitude. And that's where you're stuck in. And I've learned over the years that some of the jobs I've had have been horrible, horrible jobs. But I found that when I changed my attitude and said, Lord, I'm doing this for you. And I start whistling a happy tune and loving on the Lord. You know what? Once I learned that lesson, God promoted me to a different job. So I didn't have that stinking job anymore, all right? Now, you can't pretend with God. I'm not suggesting that, you know, say, hey, God, see, I'm whistling a happy tune and I got a smile on my face. See, can I get that new job now, please? No. All right, you got it. It's an attitude change. It's down on the inside, amen? And so I just encourage you with that. Okay, so necessity. How about this? One thing that might hold you back is education. You might say, well, look, it's because of my lack of education. Well, do I need to remind you that some of the richest people in the world never completed college? In fact, some of those people never even completed high school. And so we need to start not using that anymore as an excuse and pointing a finger. Listen to me. That's not an excuse anymore, especially in the day and age that we live in. Listen, with access to the internet, let me ask this. Let me just take a survey. How many people here have access to the internet some way, somehow? Just put your hand up. I think like 99% of the hands are up here, all right? You have access to YouTube. You have access to training videos. There is no limit to what you can learn. Now, you can get into trouble on the internet, too. Don't do that, all right? But as far as learning and growing, there's all kinds of not only free opportunities, but there's some paid stuff that's top caliber. You know, they have now what they call master classes. How many people have heard of that? You know, we're experts in the field that literally you can sit and hear them talk directly at you and to you. It's amazing what you can do now. So listen, there's no excuses anymore. Plus, many jobs, you can actually ask and say, hey, I'd like to go further in my education so I can do more here. And they will pay for it lots of times. How many people have had that experience in their lives where you've got on-the-job training? Absolutely. So it's available. Here's what the problem. Maybe you just haven't asked. Maybe you haven't sought for it. And so I encourage you, make a decision instead of being stuck to say, Lord, I want to get unstuck and to take some of those steps. Okay, necessity, education. How about abuse? I mentioned this a little bit earlier. There could be something someone has said or done to you in the past or is still saying and doing that is holding you back from moving forward, that it's making you stuck. And if you're in a situation like that, if you're in an abusive relationship of any sort, listen, make an appointment with one of us here at the church. We will talk to you. We will help you walk through it. Let me tell you something. There is no reason for anyone ever to be abused in any way, shape, or form. That's not God's will or God's way. Amen. And if you feel that that's going on in your life, make an appointment. Come and talk to us. We'll help you walk through it and direct you in what you can do for that. Amen. No one has the right to abuse you. No one. Amen. 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 Okay. And finally, what are some things that hold us here? Others. All right. How many people have heard of the crab mentality? You ever heard that term? All right, well, it comes from the idea if you have a bucket of crabs, and they got to be alive, all right, for this to work, all right? Alive crabs in a bucket. Here's what you will notice they will do. One will climb up on top of the others and try to get out of the bucket. They want to leave, all right? They don't want to be in the bucket anymore. So what does the crab underneath that crab do? Reaches up, pulls that one down, and then climbs over that one. And so this just goes on and on and on. And no one escapes in the end. Listen, I want to tell you something. You all, including me, we got some crabby people in our lives. It doesn't mean they're all crabby, but you have some crabby people. They really don't care about your well-being. They care more about themselves than you. Everything's about them and not you. You get what I'm saying? And so when you're going through something and you're trying to climb out, instead of them helping you, giving you a boost, what do? Grab hold of you, pull you down, and then they try to climb up over top of you and out. Each and every one of us have crabby people in our lives. And you need to decide, what are you going to do with these crabby people? You know, and I pray it's not your spouse, all right? But whoever this, you know, you need to put boundaries up so they no longer are holding you back from what God has called you to do. And it's a decision you get to make. Amen? Remember, they don't make the decision for you. You get to make. And here's why. On top of that bucket is Jesus. And he's reaching down like this. And he'll reach down as far as he needs to go to grab hold of your crabby little hand and pull you right up out of that crabby bucket, all right? That's the nature of God. He will grab hold of you if you'll reach up to him. Amen? There's no limit to what God can do. He's just so awesome. He's just so awesome. So necessity, education, abuse, others, those are some of the examples, you know, natural things that could hold you back. But I want to, in a sense, now move forward and talk about how to get unstuck. And these are more in spiritual terms. Remember I told you we have this duality of existence, you know, the natural and the spiritual. Some of the things I've just told you are mostly natural things, you know, dealing with people and circumstances. But I want to finish for the next few minutes with 3 points of things in the spirit. And these are the most important that I want to leave you with. The first thing is this. You get unstuck by being more sacrificial of self. I'll explain this to you in a minute. So you get unstuck by becoming more sacrificial of self. 2 scriptures. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. Luke 14, verse 28 says this. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? And so both of these scriptures fit under the context of being sacrificial of self. And here's what it means. You know, how many people have heard, you know, we're to live in the moment? How many people have heard that term? It's a good term. In other words, the idea is if you're with your spouse out to dinner, instead of you looking at your phone every 5 minutes, you put the phone away, you actually put it on silent, and you're there, you're present in that moment. So you can look at that spouse in the face and enjoy the food, and you're there. You know, if you're in your RV and at the campsite and you're watching back to that camper thing, right, and you're watching the sunset, instead of, you know, tooling around on your phone or thinking about whatever, you're just in the moment watching that sun go down and the clouds turn all their different hues of colors. Let me tell you something. God is the best painter in the world, isn't he? He can just make new paintings just like that. It's just amazing. And so to enjoy that. But here's the difference. That's living in the moment. But then there's living for the moment. That's not good. In other words, that's where we do compulsive buying of things. You know, you see that shiny new whatever thing, you know, and we're like, I got to have one of those. You know, maybe it might be a car, for example, or a new pair of shoes or you know, whatever it might be. And you just off the cuff, just buy it without considering, without counting the cost. You know, just because the bank says, oh, we've approved you of this loan and you're more than welcome to take this X amount of money, that does not mean that you should. Has everyone figured that out here? Please tell me you have, all right? You know, sometimes that's what people think, that, oh, I've got permission to spend all this now. This is awesome. And they just go and spend it right to the dollar. Here's the thing. If you counted the cost, and in fact, banks now by law, and when you buy a car, the same thing, they have to show the amount of interest that's going to be paid over the length of that loan. Has anyone ever looked at that number? Just curious. Or do you just kind of like, no, I just want it. You know, you don't, have you ever counted the cost? That's what we just read scriptures about. Do you know that on average, the average person, when they buy a car, pay 3 times as much when they're done paying for it in the end? Sticker price times 3, because they bought it before they had the money. That's horrible. That's horrible. But we don't look at the fine print, do we? Because we want. And so the problem is that unless we're sacrificial of self or selfishness, then we're going to remain stuck where we are. Because let me tell you something. In our lives, I know some of you are going to have trouble with me, but hear what I'm going to say. I've been in Christendom for 36, 37 years now. And I have individuals come up and they say they have financial problems, all right? And that's fine. Happy to pray with you. Believe God. But here's the thing. It's not a money problem. It's a problem in here. You hear what I'm saying? It's not external. It's not a money problem. It's a heart problem. In other words, it's what you do with what you have. And so you have to make a decision. This is hard. It's quiet in here. I can hear pins dropping everywhere. I'm just being honest with you. You got to come to a place. If you want to get unstuck, let me tell you something. Your financial stability is a huge area of stuckness. And God has not called you and I to live like the world. And the world lives in debt to the world. We are called to have no debt but the debt of love to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that means that we should be working ourselves out of debt everywhere and anytime that we can. Amen? And that just needs to be our heart. Amen. So getting unstuck by becoming more sacrificial of selfishness. Count the cost when you're going to do something. You know, and that's, you know, we could go beyond in this and talk, you know, for weeks on this. Not just about money, but in the area of relationships. So many young people just want to do the moment. In other words, this feels good. Let's just do this. And then you got to. Unexpected child, you have unexpected, you know, the list just goes on. Diseases, you know, the list goes on of all the potential things that can happen. God doesn't want that for any one of us. Count the cost in advance. Now, does that mean God wants us to, you know, not have fun in life? I don't know about you. I don't think it's fun going in debt. I don't think it's fun having an unexpected pregnancy. I don't see that as a whole lot of fun. Anybody else here see that as fun? In other words, God wants you to enjoy your life to the fullest, but you got to do it his way for that to happen, amen? And you need to count the cost. Basically, ask him first. That's what we need to do as believers, amen? Okay, get unstuck by becoming more sacrificial of self or selfishness. Okay, how about the next one? Get unstuck by not blaming others for where you are. We've already talked about this a little bit. Matthew 7 verse 3 says this, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Could you imagine, literally, you got a plank in your eye, and you're like, hey, let me get up close to see the speck, and you're whacking the person on the side of the head with your own plank. Here's the reality of it. We need to take responsibility for our own stuff. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. Is there any other imperfect people here, or am I the only one? Okay. So the reality of it is we all have issues. We all have stuckness in our lives. But sometimes it's easier to see the problem in the other person rather than dealing with what's going on with ourselves. And so I encourage you, begin to take stock of yourself. And again, that doesn't mean don't say anything to other people, but as the Lord directs you. Not like, I'm going to fix this. Here's what I found. I'm not in the right spirit when I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, because there's no Jesus in I, if you know what I'm saying. So I encourage you, be careful about that. All right, the final point is this. You get unstuck, and this is the big one. I left this because this is, for me, really important. You get unstuck by focusing forward rather than backwards. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I've already attained all this or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward with what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, I love the Apostle Paul was the writer of this portion of Scripture. And I love his humble attitude. Here's what he says. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not perfect. But this one thing I do, and he makes this point, I am pressing on forward. I'm not looking back, but I'm pressing on forward to what God has called me to. And the example that comes to me is this. You know, how many people have a car or have sat in a car? I hope all, you got here by car. Nobody walked here, I don't think. And so you're in the car, and especially you're in the front seat, and you look at the window, right? You can see an awful lot, can't you? Now, there's another part to the windshield of every car that I've ever been in. And what's that? The rear view mirror, right? Now, think about that. You got your entire windscreen, you know, this huge window that you can see forward, but you got this little weeny mirror to look backwards. Maybe that should be the ratio that you and I should have in life. But here's what happens. Some people get it backwards. In fact, that's why a lot of accidents happen on the road, too. They're looking back instead of looking forward. In other words, we need to, percentage-wise, be spending most of our time moving forward. And yeah, we got to glance back once in a while, see what's coming up behind us. But most of the time, we're called to look forward. For many of us here, sitting right here, right now, and those watching, your past is holding you back. And you keep looking back and looking back and looking back. And as a result of being here, you're not seeing all that God has in front of you and for you. Let's stand together. At the end of the first service, the Lord reminded me of a scripture, so I'm going to say it at this time, and it's in Psalms 40. David, who experienced a lot of ups and downs in his life, he got stuck in a lot of places. But he said this, that the Lord, I'm paraphrasing, but basically, the Lord lifted him up out of the miry clay and set his feet upon the rock to stay and established his footsteps before him. So let me tell you something. This message about being stuck is biblical. Here's David saying, I was stuck in the miry clay. I lived on a farm, and part of it was clay. And I remember as a little kid having to leave my boots stuck there because I couldn't pull them out. I literally got out of my boots. I couldn't even pull them out of the mud. So I literally walked home in socks. And that's life. So that's what David was describing, how thick and miry it was. But he said the Lord was there, lifted him up, and set his feet upon the rock. We sang about it today, the foundation. The rock is Jesus Christ. And then established his footsteps before him. In other words, God pulled him up out of that stuck place and had a plan to move forwards. And God has that for each and every one of us here as well. So with every head bowed, just for a moment, I'm just going to ask that question again, and this is just to acknowledge before the Lord. Are you stuck in some area of your life? Just put your hand up to the Lord, just so the Lord can see it. See those hands raised all here, and those at home, I encourage you to do this as well. You may put your hand down. Lord, you saw those hands raised everywhere. My hand was up too. I got some stuckness in my life as well. And so, Lord, I pray right now for each and every one of us that we can come to a place of realizing we are stuck. In fact, that's step one of moving forward, is to realize we have those areas of stuckness. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that we believe and realize that there's nothing you can't pull us out of. Doesn't matter how deep we're in, that you will help us no matter what. So, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, whatever stuckness is going on, that you will begin to pinpoint the way and show the way on the map to move forward in life. Father, I thank you for every person here, for every person watching. I speak a blessing upon them as they desire to walk after you in their spiritual journey. Lord, I pray they don't get distracted by all the fakeness of this world, but to stay focused upon the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning.